Today's episode is sponsored by my Lit Daily Online Yoga Classes. This is an exclusive pass into my personal practice and program that I created from experience as a physical therapist and 20 years developing my Lit Yoga methodology. There is a different class with me every day, including special monthly live streams, so you can feel your most lit up anytime and anywhere. Get a 3-day free trial today by going to movementbylara.com and clicking daily classes. Let's get moving. Good movement, and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a Lit Yoga podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through safer and smarter movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Today is Friday with friends, and I have a very special friend from across the pond, Miss Kirsty Patterson, Forever Body Yoga. I'm going to let her speak to how we have become friends. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. Yeah. Launch right in.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So for me, I found you on the old Instagram, Fabulous World, and I had been struggling a little bit with yoga. I loved my yoga. It was great for my mind, but I still wasn't quite getting that connection in my body. And that's where the Lit Yoga managed to create that difference for me. I'm hypermobile, so I was, you know, doing all the bendy stuff and I could, and it felt fun, and it was nice to kind of go into that ego place and sit in a class sometimes and be the person that could do certain things. But there was still stuff that I couldn't do, and also some of those things that I was doing, so coming into full wheel, full hero pose, I was getting pain afterwards. And as I started to see what you were doing on Instagram and the information that you were offering, the information in your podcast, I started to change the way I practice, and I started to change the way that I teach. And the feedback that my students were giving me was aligning with the feedback that my body was giving me. I was like, this needs to change. This is what I need to be doing. And so then when you did your recent workshop in Dublin, I jumped on a flight to get to that, get as much as I can as soon as possible. And yeah, then I'm doing Costa Rica as well to get even more.
Which will be amazing. 3 weeks together and just going through this method and how it is designed for everybody, like your wonderful brand, and how it, through the body, we will be able to make huge changes for ourselves and for other people, guiding them with education and knowledge and empowering people. And so tell us a little bit about your, we know that you were very bendy, but when did you discover yoga?
I dabbled in yoga for the first time probably about 20 years ago now. And being that I was bendy, when I turned up to my first yoga class and I was pulled back and forward folds, because although my hands could get down to my feet, no problem, the teacher was like, you know, bring it back a little bit, probably encouraging me to use that core. It didn't sit well with my younger ego. I was like, I should be ace at this and I should be getting so much positive feedback. Why are you telling me not to do this? It didn't make sense for me at that time. And I've dabbled in and out of it over the years. And it's probably about 7 years ago now, 8 years ago now, that it started to click a little bit more. And my body had endured so much more over that time. I had had more injuries. I'd pushed myself more and more. And I needed that quiet and that connection. And yoga started to make more sense for me. And I signed up to a yoga retreat, never really doing yoga for any extended period of time. I booked into some private classes and it started to make sense. And I started to need it. And then I wanted to share it.
What was your your full-time gig at the time?
I was a chartered accountant. So quite different.
Yes.
Yeah. Hence, I really needed yoga. The pressure working, and I worked in the corporate space, and that pressure to perform was really high from the organizations that I worked for, as well as from myself. I had very high perfectionist traits, and you can't be perfect.
Mm-mm.
And as I stepped more into yoga, I managed to chill a little bit. And I was doing a lot of reflection on myself at the same time, reading Brené Brown's books. And I managed to step away from the perfectionist. And my performance started to improve in all sorts of areas. And I wanted to be able to give that to other people. And over time, I've stepped out of the world of accounting and into the world of yoga.
That's amazing. I love what you said, that it allowed you to get outside of that perfectionist tendency, which of course is a never-ending, never-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
But changing just one aspect of our lives through the body, through the awareness, through the paying attention, how that transferred for you into other ways, improving other aspects of your life, and that you could actually perform probably quantitatively better than you had before. Now, what you have done a training before.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what did you find? Because I think you're going to speak to a lot of present and current yoga teachers. And I think there's always people who want to become yoga teachers. And there's a lot of, because you love it, right? You love it and you want to share mm-hmm. it and then you want to get trained in it. But then a lot of trainings fall short of giving you the equipment and tools to then carry that out and actually feel like you can successfully educate people in the realm of the yoga practice. What, without going into details about your particular training, what did you find that was missing in that training and in others that you feel like compelled to do my training?
So I did love my training, but I wanted to know more about the body and how that moved and how that worked. You get what you need in your initial training. And as I did it, I didn't feel like some things were still right in my body. I wasn't getting the answers to the questions I had. And sometimes they were given, absolutely, but they still didn't feel right. When I was to do what I was being advised to do, it didn't feel safe. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel supported enough in my body. And I wanted to know more about that. And that is where I get a lot from your training, from your podcasts, and from what you give out on Instagram, on your daily as well. I loved the use of words, my understanding of language, and the emphasis of that I got from my first round of training. And I managed to weave those two together within my classes now. But I want to be able to understand that body even more.
So what do you think for yourself, the advantage of really understanding the body more, like embodying the practice, what has it revealed to you?
For me, that's probably a big one. The tension that we hold in our body. So we're walking around in these bodies and we don't understand them. Even simple things, like when I start with my yoga basic students, the first thing I do is talk about that posture. So, in the lip world, it's that triple S, that neutral spine, that neutral pelvis. And they, so many of them feel really weird because we don't have that upright stance. We don't breathe properly. And it's just that little piece about how we can take even standing upright from what is considered a yoga stance to how we can move and walk on a daily basis, to breathe clearer, to think clearer, to make smarter decisions. And it kind of brings those two pieces together. And we're able to listen to the body, which I think so often we're discouraged from doing, mm-hmm. pushing back, pushing through. And if we actually take that moment, take that opportunity, when we can have a little bit of stillness, a little bit of calm, whether that's a pause in a pose or taking a few moments in a class to sense what's happening in the body, we can tune into that more. Oh, our body's telling us what's happening in the mind as well. It's that connection between those two brings it together.
And in your coaching, in your coaching, what is your mission with that?
My goal is to provide people with a safe space where they have the opportunity to build the strength and the stability in the mind and in the body. So it's not just about building strong, stable bodies. If the mind is shouting at you when you're thinking about your to-do list or you're comparing yourself to the other students in the room, it's going to be hard to build the strength and the stability in the body. So I want to be able to create that space for people to do both. And I think I do.
I bet you do.
Yes, my students tell me I do.
Right, through the core, more core always helps.
Yes.
And so on a more personal level, beyond like leaving the profession that you mm-hmm. were trained in,
yeah,
changing this perfectionist mindset that can be very gripping, and anxiety producing.
Yes.
Are there any other things that yoga has really helped you with, healed, or facilitated in your own growth?
Yes, very much so. So it's a blog I wrote recently. The question I was asked recently is, how has yoga changed me? And as a child, from quite a young age, from the age of 3, I was sexually abused as a child. And that influenced everything in my life and how I walked through life, how I perceived everything in life. And I did start therapy from a very young age. It came out what was happening when I was 7. And I started therapy really young. And a lot of that was about managing the feelings. And I did a very intensive round of therapy when I was in my 30s to actually go back and not just manage the feelings, but understand more what had happened to me, step back in time to be able to step forward. And that was really hard. And I was still finding it incredibly difficult to be present in my body, to listen to it, to not be scared to what I was feeling. And that was a big piece that changed with the yoga. It felt like for me, yoga was the final piece that brought me the connection. Whereas I could now understand with the therapy what had happened, how it had influenced me, but how it didn't have to rule my life anymore. But my body was struggling with that, and yoga was that missing piece. To be safe in my body, that came with yoga.
So the residual was that your body didn't trust and was probably, I guess, still harboring the reality, not the reality of what had happened, and and it's, I guess, through your own inner and outer strength that you were able to reawaken the body.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I'm sure it is, and I'm so sorry that I'm always so sorry to hear those stories, and unfortunately, they're so common.
They are so common.
For women, of course, men as well,
yes.
to have endured sexual, emotional, physical trauma, and what that is, you know, the residue, the impact of that it lasts for such a long time, and some people never they block it off. This has been studied over and over again.
Yeah.
Do you find that you bring that voice into your coaching? I mean, are you looking for a particular population at all, like that people that have gone through trauma?
It's not that I'm looking for them as mm-hmm. such. I think quite often they find me.
Yeah, that's always the kick, and, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know about other people who have experienced trauma, but I can often sense that is in people. So some people come to my class and they don't have it. And I think that's great not to have endured that trauma of any kind that is. But most of us have been through something. And from what I hear from my students, it's the space that I provide for them. And that there's no pressure to do anything in my classes. There's no pressure to be anything in my classes. And to me, it's very important how I deliver and the language that I use. And everything's an invitation. There's no requirement to do anything. Creating that opportunity as well for individuals to step into the body, to maybe close the eyes down, maybe that's not comfortable for them, mm-hmm. and giving them those options. And I think it is my experience, my history, that drives me to create that safety.
I bet you can really speak to it in such an authentic way. You know, I was talking about this with my online training group. Someone was saying, what do you do when somebody's fidgeting all the time in Shavasana and blah, 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 it's not disturbing anybody else, but I really want, you know, her to have this experience. And I was like, you are not in charge of somebody having an experience, right?
Yeah.
You don't have no idea what is going on. There are many people, and I only know this, not having gone through it myself, but having being witness to it, being told it, working with people of varying backgrounds, that sometimes lying there still with your eyes closed is not something that feels good or safe.
No.
And I love how you said it's an invitation. Like we are setting up an experience. We're setting through our knowledge and our education, our own personal journeys, where all of it comes into play, but it's not a sage on the stage, do what I say, you should be feeling this. You need to not move here. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think it is a little counterculture to the yogic kind of traditional yoga stuff, but boy, are we all ready for it. I mean, one lineage after another is falling. It's like,
yes.
Why? Because when you set that dynamic up, it is actually feeding on the people who are the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Being told what to do. Saying this, holding this, you have to check off this before you do that. It's like the rigidity of the rules and the regulations and how it's given. And it does really prey upon the people who feel very, they need a dogma, you know, they need it. But yeah. Really where they grow and become more connected to their body is through the facilitation, through the invitation, through the setting up the environment.
Yeah.
Now, on that note, what are your thoughts? And I'm sure they change, and I'm sure it's case by case, but what are your thoughts about touch, adjustments, assistance, knowing that people who have had trauma may or may not want anyone to touch them? Do you have any kind of...
many thoughts.
Yeah. Tell me, yeah. Because, you know, yeah. I'm always looking, because again, not having had it myself,
yeah.
But having worked with thousands of people in a variety of ways, as a physical therapist and otherwise, I believe touch is incredibly, incredibly healing.
Yes.
And I feel like the intention of it should be felt, right? But I also, that is presupposing that my intention is just going to be received in the way that I want it to be. So I'd love to hear, tell me your thoughts.
Yeah. So your intention, the teacher's intention, whether it's a yoga teacher, a physio, a doctor, whoever, your intention is going to be filtered by the perception and the experience and the history of the individual receiving it. So in my classes, every mat has a reversible hands-on yes or no adjustment card. And I explain that at the beginning of each class whenever there's a new student in there. And I remind my students that they can, on each day, choose what they want, and it's reversible. Because as you move through your flow, something might come up in the body or something might come up in the mind, and you can change your mind. It may be that you're a no adjustments person, but I would hope that I can create the space where somebody might be comfortable for that one day and they have the opportunity to change that to a yes. So I have that. I also always, when I'm approaching somebody's body, and especially if, you know, the head is down, so even in a downward dog or a dolphin or anything like that, I'm just saying to them, I'm just going to put my hands on the side of your hips to let them know they can't see me coming into their space. So I should be checking, mm-hmm. just making sure that that's still going to come. If somebody's really stepped into their body, they're out of the mind, that connection is fully there, they might not know that you've appeared beside them. I don't want to scare anyone, mm-hmm. whether it's because they have a history or they're just not a person who likes people in their space.
So I really think that was one of the best explanations I've ever heard.
Oh, great.
I like you. I like that it's a yes, no card. We have chips at the studio, and quite frankly, haven't used them because it's just, it seems very messy. You know what I mean? Like a chip can go flying. It can be like, take a chip if you want. It's like in empowering the person, take a chip if you want it. Well, in my studio, that's going to be 99% of the people.
Yeah.
And they're just more used to it. And I think, not to assume, but there's just, that's a lot of stuff. And the card is like, less kind of literally less messy and also can be like, say you have a chip, but then you're right. Like, I don't want it. Like, I'm going to come down on the floor. I don't want to be adjusted at this stage.
Okay. Yeah.
To get rid of that chip is like just the card. It's just such a softer way of communicating moment to moment. You always have that right there. So I love that idea. And I'm understanding it a lot more than I did in the past. And, you know, because I just want to be the best, most compassionate teacher that I can be. And I've come to learn that, again, all my intentions could be wonderful, but it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with, you know, where the readiness is and where the stage of healing and et cetera. So thank you for explaining that so well. I think I'm going to get some of those yes, no cards.
Yeah, I just made them. It's a business card.
Oh, you made them. Even better. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been like, that's so amazing. I love that because it's just, I love that. It's great. Somebody's in control all the time. And it's like, and housekeeping wise, it feels soft and easy to execute. Thank you for that. Well, in the next number of months, before the training, after the training, in the next year, what are your big goals? Like, what are your goals in the yoga world, more globally and more personally?
Nice question. I'm still running my own classes. They're smaller. I want those to be bigger because I want to be able to bring the yoga to more people. I want to be able to create that space for different people to step into the yoga world. It's can be perceived, have that perception of being flighty, not necessary for me because I'm this kind of person.
Right.
And I want more people to be able to try it, to know that it's
flighty in the sense that it's not steeped in tradition as much, or flighty
that it's not a real workout, that it's not really for me, and that I don't do yoga. I'm in the gym.
I know, and that the amazing thing is, it's you're saying, for everybody. Like, I think it is for everyone. I think you believe that too, and it is that the challenge for us is to really show the gym people who would never step on a yoga mat, show the yoga people who are really very comfortable in the same old, you know, show the office people who again think yoga is for woo woo, you know, like it really meets you where you are. And then it's fundamentally trying to just say, hey, let's together and individually work on being more awake in life. more observant of the way we move and stand and talk and treat each other and believe in this, the depth of our own power.
Yeah. And I want to create the space and the opportunity for people to do that. I want to be able to take yoga further. When I think about the person that I was even 5 years ago, sitting at my desk, constantly wanting more, having no idea what I was feeling and not having that connection, I know I'm not the only person who feels like that. And if I can help those people bring that connection to them, that would be amazing. So I know I can't do all of that from where I live here in London. And I want to start being able to deliver a bit more of that. So some more yoga for the anxious mind, yoga for the tense mind, deliver that, some of that online as well. So step into that space.
I love it. So where can people find you now?
So my website is foreverbody.co.uk. And then I'm on Instagram at Forever Body Coaching.
And you Facebook teach in London?
Yeah, so I teach in Greenwich as well as in the city, so around Shoreditch. And yeah, so just trying to build that slowly and consistently.
Keep at it, because I know there's a lot of London people out there that love this style of yoga. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah. And they will just adore taking class with you because you're so, you're bringing all of you, just your eloquence and your kindness and wisdom and all that into it. And in such a,
thank you.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to spend 3 weeks with you in Costa Rica sooner
Me
than
too.
Later. Yeah, I know. Anybody out there, we actually had a couple of rooms that were given to me from the Deer Retreat Place. So I have a few rooms left. I do cap it in my online. We have a lot more people. But in my training, my in-person, I don't take any more than 25 people. And we're not going to get up to there because even with these rooms, there's enough singles. I think we would have 20 at the most. That's it's a great amount of people to really get a lot of attention and just learn so much in a beautiful environment, one of my favorite places on earth. So you can learn more about that at lityoga.com, lityoga.com. And Christy and I will both be there, so you can spend time with both of us. Thank you so much for your time today, for sharing your own story. And everybody's story helps others. You can touch so many with yours. So thank you for your courage and your own incredible power.
Thank you.
And to all of you listeners out there, as always, pulling for you, sending you lots of hugs.